me. Eric, thank you for asking me to be here. And Peter, thank you for hosting. And Bethany, thank you for the intro. When Amy asked me if I would share some of my career learnings here tonight several months ago, I thought, sure, I've got tons of career learnings. I didn't actually start to prepare for this until late last week. And so when I did, I started making this very, very long list of all the things I've learned over my career and realized that I could probably talk to you for about 3 weeks. So I've tried to boil down my learnings into just two things. One is the importance of bringing humanity to business and the importance of bringing business to humanity. So I'll explain a little bit what that means. But if we just take a couple of steps back, when I was at Bucknell, I was a math major, I was a psych minor, I did not take one business course, I did not take one econ course, and so it's a little confusing why I'm an executive today. Right after school, I went to work for J.P. Morgan with Karen Welsh, and I didn't really know what J.P. Morgan did, I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I knew that sort of working on Wall Street and living in Manhattan sounded very sexy. And I figured out very quickly that this wasn't the place for me, that I wanted to be closer to the customer and not sort of in the back office. So after my two-year program, I took U-Haul out to San Francisco and ended up working at the Gap in corporate strategy, which I loved because I liked being close to the customer. And I liked that when I went out, people actually were really excited to talk to me about my job and tell me how their jeans fit and all that sort of thing. And but I was still searching for more meaning. And so I was applying to business schools, and it was when I was applying to business schools that I got a call to join a startup called X.com. So I went down and I interviewed and I met with the entrepreneur, a guy named Elon Musk, who's since gone on to found Tesla Motors, the electronic sports cars, and SpaceX, literally space shuttles. This guy does rocket science and cars and payment systems and everything. So I met with him and decided that this sounded like a pretty interesting startup, so I joined as the first product manager. And a couple of months later, when I joined, my family and my friends were kind of looking at me. They were like, but you've spent so many nights and weekends applying to business school. What are you doing? And so they all thought it was a really bad decision. It was a risk, and it turned out to be a pretty good one. So a couple of months after I joined X.com, we ended up merging with a small company down the street called PayPal. And I moved over to PayPal as the first product manager. I spent the next 2.5 years, I went from being a product manager to running all the product, running user experience. And this was really my first experience here with the importance of bringing humanity to business. So when I first started at PayPal, when I say bring humanity to business, in this case, it was all about humility. It was about admitting that you don't know all of the answers and being open to new answers, particularly following your customer. So when I started at PayPal, the original product was beaming money back and forth with a Palm Pilot. So there's probably people in the audience who don't even know what a Palm Pilot is. It was really cool technology, and if you were a geek, which most of the people in the company were, it was really, really cool, and even our marketing program was literally Scotty from Star Trek. And but it had absolutely no, it was meeting no user need. And the only reason that we had customers was because we were paying customers $5 to sign up, and we were paying them $5 when they referred a friend. And so people were making a lot of money off of PayPal, but there was still no user need. And so we were reading through the customer support emails and discovered this one user wrote in and said, do you mind if I use your logo on my eBay auction? So we went and we looked, and it turns out that eBay, which hopefully most of you know, at the time, if you were buying on eBay, you needed to sort of, if you won an auction, you need to remember to go write a check, mail the check, wait for the seller to get the check, cash the check, wait for the check to clear, and then they would mail your goods. So eBay really needed a safe, easy, convenient online payment mechanism. And so in comes PayPal, which really turned out to be kind of the killer app for eBay. And, you know, to be very clear, if there was no eBay, there would be no PayPal today. And that was not at all the business that was planned. It was frankly just through following our customers and admitting that we didn't know the answer. So the humility piece. At the same time, Pierre Omidyar, the founder of eBay, was searching for a present for his son on eBay. At the time, eBay was a collectibles marketplace. I mean, it was Pez dispensers and Beanie Babies and that kind of thing. So he searches for a car on eBay, and instead of finding this, he found this. And he was like, there's no way. He didn't believe it. eBay was intended to be a collectibles marketplace. And so he went searching the marketplace, and lo and behold, in 1999, online, over 300 cars were being sold on eBay. So following the customer and recognizing that his view of the business wasn't actually the view of the business, they built the products and features around what became eBay Motors, which turned into one of the biggest resellers of cars around the world. So both of these pieces, I think, demonstrate the importance of, frankly, having humility and recognizing that you don't know all the answers and following your customer. So I spent the next 2.5 years, as I said, kind of going from product manager to managing a group of product managers, then managing all product management, and then also taking on user experience and design. And it was like being on a medieval stretching rack. I felt like every day I was learning something new, and I was just trying to stay above water. It was there that I met Chrissy Vondrath, fellow Jason, and together we took PayPal Global, and we took PayPal from just being a payment mark on eBay to all over the web, and built PayPal Mobile and all these things. PayPal was acquired in early 2002 by eBay, after IPOing earlier that year. And when eBay acquired PayPal, Meg Whitman, who was the CEO of eBay at the time, sent over one of her trusted lieutenants to run her $1.5 billion purchase. So she sends over this guy, Matt Bannock, to run PayPal, and he became my manager. And so it was my first meeting with my new boss, and really nervous, so I prepared all the things I was gonna say, and I walk into the room, and I look at him, and I say, Matt, you need to demote me. You need to hire in somebody above me, because I have no idea what I'm doing. Up until 2 years ago, I never managed anyone. Like, I never took a class in engineering or in business, and I really need somebody to learn from above me. He's like, okay, and he walked out kind of stunned, I think. And he came back to me several days later, and he said, I'm not hiring anybody in above you. You're going to be on the executive team, and it was because you have awareness and because you were authentic and you spoke to me out of high integrity that I believe that you can do this job. was pretty crazy for me. I think that's gonna skip the slide. Anyway, please help show me the volume. I'll come back to you in a minute. So it was pretty crazy to me that he was willing to take this chance on me. And as the business scaled, I mean, we went from zero payment volume in 99 to processing $36 billion of payment volume when I left in 2006. We became a billion-dollar revenue company in 2005. It was like tremendous, tremendous growth. And I kept thinking, like, what am I doing here? I was the only woman on the executive team. I was younger by about 10 years to all of my peers. The people reporting to me, for the most part, were older. Most of them had their master's. I never got my MBA. I wasn't clear why I was in the job. And I struggled with that quite a bit. After a lot of conversation and a lot of reflection, a lot of feedback, I started to figure it out. And frankly, it was pretty simple. It was because I was collaborative. It was because I was compassionate. It was because I listened, it was because I acted on all of that, and it was because I was human. I was authentic every day when I came to work, and that's what enabled me to be successful. And there's a pretty interesting Harvard Business School review study that looks at IQ and EQ. So most of you are familiar with IQ, EQ is like emotional intelligence. And they asked a bunch of CEOs, obviously, you want employees who are high on both, right? and you don't really want these folks. But if you have to trade off high EQ or high IQ, which would you do? And the resounding answer was high EQ. Because we live in the knowledge management world. We live in a world where you don't know all the answers and you can't get it all done yourself. You need to work through others. You need to know who knows the answer and be able to work with them. You need to know who can get the job done and motivate them to do so. So this was a really important learning for me. And frankly, I saw it. I saw some people around me who were so brilliant, but when it came to getting anything else done through people, they had zero leverage. So this for me, the sort of the concept of being human was so important. And I wanna make sure, I mean, for me, well, in general, being human isn't just about being a nice person, right? It's about giving feedback in a way that's honest and that builds people up instead of tearing them down. It gives feedback in a way that helps people see the possibilities and see what they can bring to this world. And it's about making sure that you're holding people accountable. So the other kind of key lesson for me was making sure that you're always holding people accountable and addressing people who aren't performing. So the biggest, you know, I learned the best way to demotivate your top performers is by not addressing your bottom performers. To repeat, the best way to demotivate your top people is by not addressing the people below you. So that was a really key piece for me. So a lot of my time at PayPal, again, just kind of understanding how important it was to be human and bring sort of your authentic self to work every day. From PayPal, I went over to eBay. I wanted to learn more about marketing, so I headed up relationship marketing for a while, did product strategy and user experience, but I still was kind of searching for what next, and frankly, feeling like I wanted more meaning in my job. So throughout this time, I stayed in touch with my manager, Matt Bannock, who fortunately decided not to promote me back in 2002. And he had actually left eBay to go work at Omidyar Network. Omidyar Network, so this is Pierre Omidyar, the founder of eBay, and his wife Pam. It's a philanthropic investment organization. So it's very simply based on social impact, with the fundamental belief that every individual has the power to make a difference. And the more that I learned about this organization, the more I thought, oh my God, this sounds amazing, and this is kind of my dream job. So I left eBay. I didn't actually talk to any other companies. I did like zero other research, which was probably, again, a very risky move. And when I told my friends, a lot of my ex-PayPal colleagues, what I was doing, and by the way, most of them had founded or were CEOs of like very big, important companies, they all looked at me like I was crazy. And the phrase that I got most often was, oh, you're going into the social sector? Are you retiring? And as my husband Judd can attest, I'm probably working harder now than I ever worked at PayPal. So let me just tell you a little bit about Omidyar Network. We invest in and help scale up entrepreneurs and businesses whose products and services bring opportunity to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of lives. We believe that bringing opportunity to individuals can help them change their lives, their families' lives, their community, and ultimately, hopefully, society. We invest in for-profits and nonprofits, so in that way we're a bit of a hybrid between a venture capital firm and a foundation. On the nonprofit side, you guys are probably familiar with sort of large Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, who give grants. We give grants to organizations like Kiva, which was founded by Jessica Jackley, a Bucknell alum, and Wikipedia. And then we also invest in for-profits. So let me give you an example of two of the for-profits that we invest in, because these are just very cool. So one is a company called D-Light, which is based in India. D-Light makes these solar lanterns, and they're like the iPhones of solar lanterns. They're really, really well designed. And they go for about $10. And these lanterns replace kerosene. So they're sold to people who live below the poverty line on about $2 a day, and they replace their common source of light, which is kerosene. And kerosene actually is awful, awful. It's awful for the environment, the fumes that people inhale, and then it's also really dangerous. So there's millions of kids actually who go up in flames each year because of kerosene, studying under their mosquito nets at night. So this company actually has already illuminated the lives of over 3 million people, and they're doing fabulously well, making a great margin, which means they can reinvest in the business and build more and illuminate more lives, and I'm just thrilled about what they're doing. The second company is an ultra low cost chain of schools in Nairobi, Kenya. So if you talk about serving the underserved, school children in sub-Saharan Africa are the underserved. The school systems in Kenya, like most school systems in the developing world, are completely in shambles. The majority of the students, and frankly a lot of the teachers, are illiterate. The teachers show up only about 50% of the time, and when they do, they teach for a total of about 90 minutes a day. The free government schools aren't really free. Parents have to pay for uniforms, for pencils, for lunch, that sort of thing. And worse, they often have to pay bribes for things like test grading fees and that sort of stuff. So this entrepreneur, Jay Kimmelman, who's one of the best entrepreneurs I've met, who previously had an education software company here in the Valley, sold it to Houghton Mifflin for a pretty penny, and has since moved to Nairobi to found this company, has built these schools that are, they're just tremendous. So the students get 45 hours of teach time each week. They're outperforming their fellow students in free government schools by 50 to 60% on tests after only 6 months to a year. They are already up to teaching 3,000 kids across 22 schools, and they should be up to about 100 schools by this time next year. And if all goes well in Jay's plans, by 2018, he should be teaching 2.5 million children. And by the way, making a nice return so they can reinvest all of this into the kids. Jay's vision is really nothing short than transforming education in Kenya and the rest of the developing world. And I was there actually last month. These are some of the pictures. And I can assure you that he's well on his way to doing this. It's pretty awesome work. So, all of this through D-Light, through Bridge, our firm, Omidyar Network, we're all from the private sector. We take the rigor that we learned in business and we apply it to these massive social problems, to poverty, to education, to clean drinking water, all of that. We apply what we've learned as far as following the customer, as far as hiring and retaining your best people, as far as good board governance, managing your budget. All the things that we learned in the private sector, we try to apply to the social side and to the world, to humanity. So, that's the end. I guess my wish for all of you is that you find a way to bring your humanity to your business.